The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
We as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, can be silent no longer. We're the ones who ought to be standing up and saying, no more. We need to push back, Jesus said. But at the same time, we're to be light. Light pointing people to the light of the world, Jesus himself. I mean, the only ultimate answer for people is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Dr. Robert Jeffress brings straight talk from the Savior about the things that matter most. Next.
Well, you know I'm excited about who's here. Who's here with us today?
Dr. Jeffress.
And is he pastor somewhere around here?
First Baptist Dallas.
Yeah, and I started preaching there when I was 23.
You did.
23 years old. And I preach there since he's been there. I preach there with every preacher that's been there. And he was listening to me when he was a kid, and I didn't mess him up. He told me I didn't mess him up at all. I didn't mess him up. I love this man. And I'm looking down here at this book called 18 Minutes with Jesus. Are you curious, if you didn't hear him earlier in the week, are you curious, 18 minutes, what's the significance? Well, there's a lot of it. And he told us the other day, I'll just tell you this, he said, you can read the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest, most famous sermon that's ever been preached by the most famous preacher that ever lived, most famous person that ever lived. And you can read it in 18 minutes, Sermon on the Mount. Well, we're going to let him talk about that. Dr. Jeffress, I wish this crowd was standing room only, and it would be. Except, you know something? We don't have an audience anymore. I mean, we won't sometime. But I've been able to focus so much more just on you. Because, see, I notice people, and I'm drawn to people, and I start talking to people. But somehow the people at home have told me, I can tell you're just focused on me, on us. And I want you to know we are. That's why we're glad Dr. Jeffress is here. Because he is going to bless you like you can't believe. Dr. Jeffress, I know you like to come on Life Today. Can I ask you, why do you like to come on Life Today?
Because of the worldwide impact you all are having for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your audience is the most responsive audience of any I ever get to speak to. And you have a worldwide ministry. And the things you're talking about doing for children, I mean, that's the heart of Jesus. And it's the heart of Jesus that he talks about and reveals in the Sermon on the Mount. So thank you for letting me come. I have to tell your audience a story. You know, when James started preaching at First Baptist Church in Dallas back in the 60s, and I was a teenager up in the balcony listening. We had a very prominent member of the church, known around the world as the wealthiest man in the world, who wanted James Robison to be the next president of the United States and was willing to fund that effort to become the next president. But James knew exactly what God's will was for him and for Betty, and we're so glad you resisted that temptation and are having a much greater impact.
Well, I thank God, and you know what he told me after following me for 2 years, and they said his wealth was equivalent to Gates and Buffett combined when they were at their height. And he did offer the fortune. And here's what he said to him, and I think it's significant you hear this. He said, what drew me to you is what I think may make me the saddest person I could ever imagine. I think you'll probably say no. I said, sir, I wouldn't trade places for being the preacher God called me to be with a king anywhere in this world. And he said, I was afraid I would hear that. But that's also why I came to you. I didn't think anything, money or anything, could buy you off what God called you to do. And, buddy, I want to tell you something. You have that same commitment to the call on your life that I have. And you knew that story, and you knew the Hunt family. And God did do a deep, deep work in so many of the Hunt family members.
That's right.
Tell us about this takeoff.
Well, 18 Minutes with Jesus, as you said, it's the Sermon on the Mount that can be read in 18 minutes. I'll tell you, I did myself in with this title because now I have church members saying, why can't you preach in 18 minutes? I mean, if Jesus did the most famous sermon in 18 minutes, well, I'm not Jesus, so it takes me longer to do it. But a lot of people think the Sermon on the Mount is for kingdom of God, for heaven, for some other time, but it's how we're to live right now. And in these 18 minutes, Jesus talked about the things that matter most to Him, but also matter most to us. You know, straight talk about your money, your faith, anxiety. One topic He talks about that I think is particularly relevant is straight talk about your faith. What is it we're supposed to be doing with our faith in this world? James and Betty, you see this all the time. Christians are confused. They're troubled by the times in which we're living. They wonder, what is it we're supposed to be doing to push back against an ungodly culture? Do we have 24-hour prayer meetings? Do we register people to vote? Do we hand out evangelistic tracts? What is the role of a Christian in today's godless society? And Jesus answers that question in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, I'm going to give you two illustrations of what you're to do. He said, first of all, you are the salt of the earth. Now, in Jesus' day, salt was something more than something to flavor your food or raise your blood pressure. It was a preservative. In the days before refrigeration, salt delayed the decay of meat. Now, this is key. It didn't prevent the decay of meat. Eventually, meat would decay and have to be thrown out, but it delayed that decay. And what Jesus was saying is, the reason I left you here in this world and didn't take you to heaven the moment you were saved is to be a preservative. Mm-hmm. You're not going to stop the ultimate destruction of this world, but you can delay it.
You can protect and preserve the precious far longer than one might imagine.
So that we have more time to share the gospel.
Absolutely.
I use this illustration. Imagine a giant dam that's holding back millions of gallons of water, and there's a little village below that dam, and the villagers look up and they see the dam is starting to spring a leak. The bricks are starting to crumble, and a group of townspeople go up to the dam and they push back against that dam while at the same time urging the people below to go find a place of safety. Mm-hmm. Now, they know their work is ultimately futile. They're not going to be able to hold back that dam forever, but they're trying to give time for the people below to find safety. That's a picture of what we're doing right now. We're not going to, as my friend Cal Thomas says, you know, the kingdom of God isn't going to come riding in on Air Force One. We know that. We know politics has a limited effect. But by voting for people who uphold godly principles, we're delaying the collapse of this world. We're giving this world a little longer until Christ returns again so we can share the gospel. That's what Jesus said our job is to do. How do we act as salt? We do it by voting. That's one way. It's by opposing ungodly principles in our schools. They're trying to cram this transgender agenda down people's throat. We ought to be salt and stand up and push back and say no.
They're teaching an anti-God agenda,
too. Anti-God.
Everything against God and the one who knows what matters doesn't matter. Therefore, who knows what matters?
That's right.
Nobody. It's just whatever you say matters.
That's right.
Which is lawlessness now prevailing. Mm-hmm. And we can stop that by being righteous and by being salt and protect and preserve the precious. Protect life, for heaven's sake.
I tell the story in the book about a survivor of the Holocaust, a Christian survivor of the Holocaust. And she wrote, she told about a little church they would gather in every Sunday morning. The train tracks ran behind the church, and they would hear the train coming, carrying the Jews off to the crematoriums, and they would hear the cries of the Jews. And instead of doing something, they just sang louder. Yeah. They sang the hymns louder to drown out the cries of the Jewish victims of the Holocaust. And she said, 30 years later, she still heard that train whistle coming and wondered, why didn't we do something? No. We shouldn't have been silent. We as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, can be silent no longer. We're the ones who ought to be standing up and saying, no more. We need to push back, Jesus said. But at the same time, we're to be light. Mm-hmm. Light. Pointing people to the light of the world, Jesus Himself. I mean, the only ultimate answer for people is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this may offend some people who are watching this program. This is my last time on this week, so I don't have to worry about it. But, you know, God is no respecter of people or nations. Any nation that reverences God will be blessed by God. Any nation that rejects God will be rejected by God. Jesus doesn't get chill bumps when he hears the Star Spangled Banner. He doesn't stand up and salute the American flag. The truth is, America has been great because she followed after God. Right. And our role as Christians is not to save America. Mm-hmm. It's to save Americans from the coming judgment of God by introducing them to faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That is our calling. So we're to be salt and light. No, people say, well, which is it? Are we supposed to be engaged in the culture and push back, or are we to share the gospel? Well, Jesus didn't say you can be the salt of the earth, but if you're not comfortable doing that, you're to be the light of the world. He said you're to be both, yep, salt and light. We've got to be balanced in what we do as Christians, sure, but that doesn't mean being passive. You know, I think of the words of William Watkins in his book, The New Absolutes. He said it's time for Christians to reject the new tolerance and become a people marked by intolerance. Not an intolerance that unleashes hate upon people, but an intolerance that is unwilling to allow error to masquerade as truth any longer. That's good. An intolerance that is willing to stand up and call good, good, and evil, evil. That's what Jesus said our role is.
Well, he had absolutely made it clear that if you are light, you illuminate the best way. You expose that which is dangerous, which is damaging, which is evil, which is deceptive, which is destructive. That's what light does. And I'm telling you, if we live in the light of the world is in us, and we lighten up the world. We brighten up everything. Jesus talks about relationships in the Sermon on the Mount, too. And I'm guaranteeing you, if you throw away the truth of God, you won't have a relationship in marriage. We've been married 60 years.
Yeah.
Now, that takes a mighty big God. I mean, she's a sweetheart, but she's tough, too. Don't you ever think this is not one tough woman right here. She is strong as a grizzly bear. And I mean, God, I love you so much. And Lord, I love you for putting us together. But I guarantee you, Doc, we couldn't have stayed together without Jesus.
Yes.
Because you can find a point at which you can be pulled apart, and then you live an existence rather than a love relationship. Jesus talked about how to have a love relationship and talked about how love is the greatest force and greatest power in the world. Talk about some of the things Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that have everything to do with getting along, with relationships, with business. You know, if you scrap the Sermons on the Mount, you can't have a good relationship.
That's
you
right.
Can't have a good business. You can't have a good church. You can't have a good school. You can't have anything. You don't scrap God at the start, mm-hmm, and all these other things will also follow without Him.
Yeah.
We got to have all this. In so many ways, the Sermon on the Mount is like an understanding of how we have relationships, mm-hmm, that are lasting and meaningful. Touch on some of those, would you?
You know, in talking about relationships, of course, the most important relationship is that marriage relationship that God created. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, said, now you've heard it said, the Old Testament said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks on another person to lust after them has committed adultery in their heart. You know, one of the greatest misconceptions about the teachings of the Bible is these teachings are given to limit our joy in life. God's principles are coming from one who is a cosmic killjoy. He doesn't want you to have any fun at all. We forget, God is the one who designed sex. And He is the one. Think about it. Now, just think about that. God's the one who sat in heaven one day and said, wouldn't it be interesting? He took out a sketch pad and said, what if this person did
God.
This person? You know? I mean, He came up with the idea. But He also knew the best way it operates.
Right.
It operates within the security of the marriage relationship.
Yes, commitment.
And it's a commitment. And that's what we have to understand about the Sermon on the Mount. This wasn't given for God's benefit. This is for our benefit. Ever since the very beginning, Satan has tried to convince us that God is trying to deprive us of something good. He said to Eve, you know, the reason God told you not to eat of that tree is he knows it would open your eyes and you would be like God, and God is paranoid and he doesn't want any challenges to his leadership. No, God gave that restriction for Adam and Eve's benefit. And that's the thing about relationships. If we'll follow what God says, we can have meaningful relationships. Purity is important in a relationship. Forgiveness is the oil, the grease that makes relationship work. You know, Jesus said, if you are offering your sacrifice and you remember somebody has something against you, leave your sacrifice and go be reconciled to them. The Bible says when it comes to your mate, don't let the sun go down on your anger. You know, the best thing a couple can do to ensure a great marriage, now we're not like you all, we've only been married 45 years, you've been married 60 years, but never go to bed angry.
Absolutely.
Absolutely do your best to resolve that before the sun
goes
down.
We made that commitment right up front, didn't we? And we never have. Well, no, we have gone to bed angry. We've never gone to sleep angry. Yeah. We would face opposite ways, but pretty soon we're going to kind of turn over. And we've never, never in 60 years ever gone to sleep angry with one another. We've laid down and played like we were going to stay angry, but we didn't stay angry. We did not. And I'm going to tell you, that's huge.
Yeah. Yes.
And let me tell you something Dr. Draper said to us before we were married, and he said to the whole church. He said, one of the things Carol Ann and I have done is that when we hear the other person in our relationship say something that is hurtful, it hurt, we immediately think they would not have meant it that way. She would not have said something to try to hurt me. He would not have tried to hurt me, right?
That's right.
That was some of the greatest advice we ever heard. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
If you will hear it, and then you can sit down and realize, did you really mean to cut me with that?
Yeah.
Well, of course they didn't. No, I just got loud because you can't hear, James. I was loud because I don't know if you hear me. Okay. You get the point.
Yeah.
And this is so important that we have this relationship. I think you and I both have very strong opinions and very strong will. I'd say we're both courageous about what we believe. I believe you and I are committed to a love for God and a love for one another that all hell could never shake.
Yes.
And that is what every person can have.
Yes.
We can have a relationship like that. That's what Jesus is actually encouraging throughout the Sermon on the Mount and through his whole ministry. And in his last prayer, the 17th chapter, the last part of it is the toughest part. That you really love one another.
Yeah.
So the world will know you're my family.
I prayed that you may be one. Mm-hmm. He didn't pray that we would be
one.
The same, but we would be one.
Absolutely. Well, I think we're seeing some progress among Christians and leaders in the church, even in supernatural unity. I want you to get this book. You can go online and get it right now. You could order it, I guess you can get it in an e-book. I don't know what all it's available.
It is, and even a study guide's available so groups can study it in churches.
Right. Fabulous. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. If you'd like to have the book, we're going to ask you to get this little shoe. Betty, actually, we have them all over our big tree, but she actually had to buy a little tree that we just got these shoes on. And we will give enough money to get a lot of shoes. Because, see, we try to be as good a giver as life has. And it's not because we have money like a lot of people have. We got people who are leaving their estate to the outreaches of life.
My father left part of his estate to you all because he so believed in your ministry.
And you told me that, and that blessed me. And you told me I called him.
When he had pancreatic cancer
and
before
just,
he died.
Thank God. I have such, our whole staff of people, we love people.
Yeah.
And we love you. But we want you to get the little shoes. And we want you to give shoes for Christmas and smiles, cleft palate surgery. But we're going to send you this book to bless you. You want to know why? Because you as viewers tell us we love Dr. Jeffress. We love what he says. We love the way he preaches. We love him to be your guest. We can tell you all love him. We love him. We like what he shares. We want to send you the book to say thank you. Dr. Jeffress, you're always welcome. Every time you write something, every time you say, I got something I just wish people would hear all over the world, we will take care of the bill to get it out there with our audience. And our audience will share it because they love Jesus and they know you do. So Betty and I want to thank you. We're going to show people right now how they can give some smiles and some shoes.
Great.
But thank you for blessing
us. Thank you for having me.
I want you to just watch. You're going to see some very well-known Christians touching people nobody knew they would ever be noticed. They are the least of these, but they're big to God, and they're big to you, our viewers. Watch closely.
All around the world, children face severe problems like starvation, filthy drinking water, and sexual predation. But where heartache abounds, so do opportunities to put God's love into action. Recently, you may have helped us seize these opportunities by providing a child with a daily bowl of food, rescuing an at-risk girl from human traffickers, or drilling a clean water well for a needy village. This coming Christmas, we have an opportunity to bless many of these same children with a special gift that they'll cherish and that will protect their very lives.
This is Berta, and we want to be able to get her children some shoes. It's not just a matter of giving them something for their feet. It's very important. But the main thing is they get diseases walking around here barefoot, and their little feet just get tortured.
I guess you don't really think about, if she's walking around without a pair of shoes, how it affects her feet. If her foot gets cut and she's stepping even in contaminated water, how that could affect her feet, infect her feet.
This really is a gift of life as much as anything else. So let's try these, buddy. Let's see how they go. It so reminds me of like Christmas morning, you know, in our house. It's like they're showing each other their shoes. They're excited because they look so cool. Something as simple as a pair of shoes can really change a child's life.
Help make this Christmas one these children will never forget. Help us provide Christmas shoes and smiles.
Because of your gift, we're able to put shoes on her feet. Now she'll be able to run around and be safe.
Well, I can't do anything but sit here and smile. Now, you may not know it, but you saw some very well-known Christians there. You saw Lisa Bevere. You saw Tammy Trent, great singer and a great writer. You saw Betty. You saw our grandson, Luke, just briefly. And you saw Sheila Walsh. You say, what are these people doing going all over the world? It's the love of God that carries them there. It's the love Jesus talked about, by the way, in the Sermon on the Mount. It's the love that you who watch Life Today show and share every day all over the world. We need a miracle right now. There's two things. We need your help to give 150,000 children shoes. Lord, I pray we'll give more than that. I pray people say, how about let's do more than that? Okay, let's do it. Would you do this? Did you know that you can give 10 pairs of shoes for $36? Did you know that you can do something else too? We are giving cleft palate surgery this time of the year. And Betty, the surgeons go and they give their time and their skill. And it costs $500 with what the bare costs are for them to do it. Basically, their services are free. That's the cost of everything involved with it. Could we possibly, we've already given 2,000 children a smile, the ability to nurse, to eat, and if we can get them when they're babies, because they can't nurse with cleft palate, if we will do all these things right now, it'll be a miracle Christmas. We can give shoes and smiles. It's the last week now. Could you give $1,000 or more and give smiles? Could you give that many pairs of shoes that $1,000 would buy? Would you give 10 children shoes? Father, help every person right now to go and get their bank card and use it like a check. Go online or call the number and make the gift you put on their heart. In Jesus' name. We're going to send you some beautiful little shoes that you can hang on the Christmas tree. Matter of fact, we'll send you a whole set of them, several of them, if you'll give over $100. And you'll get this one that we're giving for any gift. But you're giving the greatest gift. You're giving the love of God in demonstration form. Betty, don't you love to watch those children?
There's nothing like it, you know, to see them jumping around and smile because they got shoes on their feet so they can run and play. But the favorite thing for me is to give a baby a smile because there's nothing like the smile of a baby. It just lights up your heart. It makes your day. I know it does mine. So thank you for everything that you can do to help these precious little ones.
I hope, Ella, that you just see those little lips and a little child wanting to be able to smile. Mama? You can give them a smile. I pray we see a miracle. I pray you become that miracle. You can be someone's miracle. You can be an answered prayer. Thanks for doing it. Thank you.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer. Not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 pairs of Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted red crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake boxed set featuring four of life's crystal Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes, or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I'm praying that more than 150,000 children will get these shoes. I'm praying that you'll say, you know what, James? Count on me. I'm going to help more. And we'll be sending the thank you. We'll send the little set of shoes for those who give over $100. You give to just help us this last week. This is it. Shoes and smiles. Boy, if you could give a couple of smiles, the $1,000 gift, or a lot of smiles if you're able to do it. Let's do it. And let's give shoes. But if you'd like to have Dr. Jeffers' book, you just ask what we'll send it to you to say thank you for sharing shoes and smiles this last week. Dr. Jeffers, Betty, and I love you so much. And like I said earlier, you're welcome here anytime. All you do is give us a call.
Okay? I appreciate it. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you for watching. Thanks for sharing God's love. Remember, last week.
Are you concerned about your family being ill-equipped to manage resources when you pass away? Do you want to leave a legacy gift that impacts the lives of others? As a free service to our friends and partners, Life Planning Services, a ministry of Life Outreach International, is here to help with your estate planning needs and chart your financial future. Do not put off this important step to protect your loved ones and leave a lasting legacy. Contact Life Planning Services today. Next week, America's Got Talent finalist Ketchy Okuchi shares her journey through burn recovery after surviving a tragic plane crash. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.